The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
And welcome back to another edition of Straight Lining with Stevie. This is we've been gone for a minute, but we're back. And Stevie, how you doing there tonight, man?
Oh, Guy, I'm doing absolutely marvelous. It's just a good feeling to get back home. I've been on the road a lot, and finally get to be back on the show again. So I'm excited about it.
All right, where have you been for the last month?
Well, you could have seen me at Pomona. You could have seen me at Vegas. You could have seen me in Winston-Salem. I did a double out in Pomona. I did a double out in Vegas. I did the finals for the All-Harley Drag Racing Association out there, and I also did their banquet as well. So it's been a busy period. In fact, I have a very understanding wife. I actually came home after 21 days, and I saw the wife for about a total of 12 hours, which I slept 8. She had suitcases waiting on me. I jumped in the car from the airplane and poof, went off to do another race up in Winston-Salem. But now the season's over.
Awesome, Stevie. And I tell you, you know, for people that might be new, their first time listening to the show, what we do is, the first half hour, we talk to a couple of guys who go down the drag strip with some doors on their machines, and then we switch over and talk all Harley drags. And I think we're going to get right to it here, Stevie. We got some pretty good guests on here tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a guy right now. Now, no doors on this machine now. We have to make that perfect.
Well, that's true, too.
This is the NOAA Gas Tarco Racing Fuels Pro Nitro Top Fuel World Champion, Bruce Litton. Bruce, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing?
Oh, just absolutely marvelous. Glad to have a chance to talk with you. So, here you are. I've read several articles that you and Susan Lucci were having a contest to see who could be second the most. And by golly, you broke that string. That took it to them this time. You've really been out there in drag racing for quite a few years running the nitro scene. And third and second place seemed to come to you every year. Just at the very end, something would happen for whatever reason. You just couldn't quite make it over that hump. But it happened this year. Tell me all about how the season went for you this year.
Well, it was an awesome season. We've been doing this now. This is my 12th, I guess about my 12th season, I think, in Top Fuel, and we've had good teams all through the years, like you had mentioned, and we've had great cars, and there's been it seems like it's always been something. You know, we've won some races, but then turn around, something just it wasn't meant to be, so to speak. So this year, I made my mind up that we was gonna. We was going to have a good year, and I went out, and I actually ordered a new car on my birthday back last December, and so I was going to go with a new car, and kind of went back together and started talking to a lot of the guys that was originally with me on the original team, and I got quite a few of my original teammates back from the crew members from my first early years in Top Fuel, so it was a neat deal. These guys. They worked good together, and we had a new car and had good equipment, and it was just one of those years where everything just really went well for us, and we started out with right off the bat with a win at the very first race, and made me feel like things was going to be really good. So we went through the season where there was several good cars in the IHRA, I think we ended up being in 5 finals, and we won 3 of them. And TJ Zizzo, he was there at every step. He was if I wasn't leading the points, he led the points. And matter of fact, he had a points lead on me and going into the final by 26 points. It was, and we just had an awesome race at the last race, and Carm performed well, and we won that race, and won the championship.
It seems like this was your year then. It just started off absolutely awesome down in Texas initially, and you were always in the hunt. But TJ Sisso, he gave you a run for the money, though, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And TJ's a great guy, and he's got a great team. And And, you know, it's like I said before, there's several good teams out here, and any one of them could have won it this year. And this is my 10th year being sponsored by Lucas Oil, and they've always been really good to me. And, you know, what can you say about them? You know, they're a quality product with even more quality people that's developing this oil and stuff. And it's just a great company, and they stuck with me. And that meant a lot to me that they – you know, they backed me this long, and you know, Torker Race Fuels, they've been with me for 3 or 4 years. So it was just kind of a neat deal where everything came together, and it was just, we were just blessed. That's about the best way to say it.
Well, you know, I know you had a great season and everything, and you were on your game every single race. But I understand you slipped on your way home when you were getting ready to pull in the driveway. You missed something.
Yeah. We took our time coming home. We took it basically an extra day to get home, and we went in a hurry. And my wife had called me, said, you know, what time are you going to be here? And I said, you know, I was telling her it was going to be here finally Tuesday afternoon. And as we was pulling into the shop, we got the semi. I was in the semi, and we would come around the corner. I always, you know, try to watch my corners and make sure we turned the corner. Well, she had made a huge sign. It was, I think the sign was 16 foot long, and it said, congratulations, you know, Bruce Litton Racing, iTree Top Fuel Champion. And she had all these signs up and these banners and everything. I missed it. I missed the whole thing. I looked at the truck and trailer as I was going around the corner, and I was looking the opposite direction. And when I come in the back door, she said, well, what do you think? I said, well, I think about what? So she said,
well,
you
had
sign.
A fantastic season to end the doghouse no sooner than you pulled in the driveway.
Yeah. So I actually walked outside the fence and looked out, stood up on the corner, looked at it, and it was pretty neat that she took the time to get these signs put up. Her and my daughter Heather went out in the rain and hung these signs on the fence, and it was a real neat deal. I was tickled that she did that for me.
Well, yeah, it was really sweet, but it's hard to believe. Here's the guy. You got to remember, this guy can literally feel the green bulb about to come on because you race against a pro tree, and he drives home, pulls in his driveway, and misses a 16-foot banner. Shame on you!
Yeah, that's true. And to my defense was that it was in front of me, but in the dragster, I never looked behind me. And this time, I was looking behind me in the mirror. So,
well, that's pretty good. That's kind of really a cute story, you know. I tell you, you apparently have a wonderful wife, Billy Carroll.
Oh yeah, yeah. Carol Lavery, we've been married 30 years, and she's been with me through the good times, and she's been through the tough times when I've had a couple of crashes and stuff, and she's always been there for me. And at the banquet, when I was giving my acceptance speech, I told everybody that the reason I do this, I do it for her. You know, I do it this racing all for her, which we all know better than that. And Aaron and Colburn and Scooter, they was paying attention. They, instead of giving me the check, they took the check over and handed it to Carol. Said, since you do it for her, I guess this is her check.
Very good. Talk about crashes. The last one you had, you rode down the guardrail, I'm not mistaken. Can you give us a little bit of just what happened in that crash at time?
Well, that crash there was... that was September of last year. It was in the semifinals at New Hampshire, and I was running Bobby Lagana. And the car happened to smoke the tires at the head of the throttle, and so did he. And what I was trying to do was just trying to get to the finish line, and we was always both pedaling, and just got out. And basically, the car just got away from me about somewhere around 1,000 foot, and hit the wall really hard. It just destroyed the car. And then it rode the guard wall all the way down, you know, for another, you know, well, I'd say 700, maybe 1,000 foot after that. I don't know. It was a long ways.
You were actually up on the guard wall going down the track then, under power.
Under power. And, you know, then it knocked the wheels off of it. Because it drug us so hard, it knocked the wheels off of it. And it just rode on the guard wall. And I cracked my skull and broke my nose, and I broke my elbow, and my shoulder, my right shoulder, went through the seat, through the mag body, and it actually got drugged on the guard wall, so I had to have two surgeries on my shoulder to have a skin graft and kind of pull the muscle away a little bit. But you know, believe me, I was hurting when they got there. I don't remember anything about it. I don't remember anything about the crash at all. I remember pedaling the car, and I remember being flown to the lifeline to the Boston Hospital. But other than that, I don't really remember too much about the crash. Seen it on TV. I seen it on TV. I don't like watch crashes, but I can watch that because I know how the outcome was. I survived it. But it was a tough time, and it had a lot of when we say rehabilitation to go through, and got to come back about 5 weeks later, and I run Rockingham the last race last year, and just to make sure that I still felt all right and still drive the car and stuff, and we built a new car because the only thing we saved off that car was the left front wheel, the fuel line, and the floorboard. Other than that, the car was junk.
Holy smokes!
You know, Stevie. I was just looking on. I was on Bruce's website here, and it was reminding me of 8,000 horsepower, right, Bruce?
That's correct.
You know, we talked to Doug Rose, who had the Green Mamba. He has a Green Mamba jet car. He's been riding around since like '69 or something. That's got a jet engine in it, and that's only like 7,500 horse. What's it like sitting in that powerhouse? What's that like to just like us mere mortals?
Yeah, it's awesome. I've been fortunate enough. I've been racing, all my life, and I've raced quite a few things. I've even raced top fuel motorcycles, but these cars here, the power is just awesome. The car weighs with me in it somewhere right around about 2,340 pounds. My body weight's basically about 225, but the car accelerates so hard that it carries 5G. The computer shows, we have a G meter in the car. I actually weigh 1,150 pounds in the car under acceleration.
Oh,
wow! it has one more G than the space shuttle. So it's pretty awesome. It runs 100 miles an hour the first 60 feet in 8/10 of a second from a dead stop, and it runs 275 miles an hour just a tick over 3 seconds in the eighth mile.
The 329.18 miles per hour. Is there a limit here? What is the limit?
I think we're getting pretty close to it. I think that you look at it as the weak link in the chain. There's always something that's trying to go wrong with these cars, and I think that the tires and the chassis design, I think it's going to be just about it. There's a few cars that run 330s, in the mid 330s and stuff. And we were fortunate enough, I think we set like three or four track records this year, just a mile an hour. And my car's been pretty good this year about running some really good mile an hour on the top end. But I look for this, that's going to be, I don't see that having to go much faster than that because it's just unbelievable. The wings we use in these cars, we've got 2,000 pounds of downforce on the front, and 6,000 pounds of downforce in the back. So you're actually just, chaining these cars basically theoretically to the ground, trying to keep them from flying away. So I just think that, with the tire design that we use now and with the, way everything's built, I think we're getting back to the point, just to the point where safely that's going to be about the fastest mile you're going to see. On a piston-driven car, anyway.
What do you think is the future as far as the chassis and stuff? I've seen a lot of articles, Bruce, about they want to enclose the cockpit completely, and they're talking about. I know John Force has done a lot to modify on the funny cars, the cages. Do you foresee the possibility of a fuel dragster being enclosed completely down the road?
It's not out of the question. I foresee them going to change the design of the way we run the cars now. A few years back, we tried to we used some of these cars that was basically in a carbon fiber cockpit. Your feet and it was like a capsule, so to speak. And I really think they're going to probably end up going that way, where the driver is completely enclosed in a cocoon, and you know, to make it safe. You know, these things are dangerous, and you know, I've tested it too many times myself. You know, and I've been fortunate enough to I've survived them, and you know, you just gonna have to be safety first, and the competition is there, and no matter what Molinar they go, or no matter what speed they go, I think everybody, you know, there's just gonna be good competition, even if they slow them down. There's a lot of smart crew chiefs out there, and they seem like they always figure out a way to make them go faster and faster, even when they take fuel out of them, and when they restrict them in certain ways. But I tell you what, they seem like they always, you know, crew chiefs, you know, are pretty smart guys that can bring a lot of horsepower to the ground.
You know, that was one of the things that I was going to mention about slowing them down, and just how could they actually slow it down without the crew chiefs finding the little nicks and crannies to pull the power back out of them. I know that they've taken a lot of the overdrive away. They've changed the percentage of nitro. They've gone up, right, down. They, you know, gear ratio. But somehow, some way, they still continue to accelerate at a rapid pace.
I think the secret right now to these cars making so much horsepower is the fuel pumps that we run on them. We run fuel pumps that pump 100 gallons of fuel in 60 seconds and at 500 pounds of fuel pressure. It's unbelievable how much fuel these cars can, you know, you can push them through the motor. And if they're going to slow them down, they're going to do it by, you know, restricting the size of the fuel pump, or how much, we run two magnetos. It takes two magnetos to fire this much fuel. If you take one magneto away from them, you know, it's going to really slow them down. But, you know, it's just a matter of testing. Whatever comes sounds like a good idea on paper, after a few of these guys get out here and test, they figure it out, and then we're on to something else.
But, you know, you just mentioned about the fact that you use you said how many gallons of fuel?
It would, the fuel pump that I have on my car will pump 100 gallons of fuel in 60 seconds at 500 pounds of fuel pressure. Now, that's at wide open throttle. You know, we're only at wide open throttle for a little over 4 seconds. I have a 17-gallon fuel tank on the car. That's the fuel tank, and it has 2.5 gallons of fuel in the lines because the lines are so big. So basically, I get a little over 19 gallons in the car. From the time we start the car up, do the burnout, do the run, including warm-up, the car will use 17 gallons of fuel.
Wow. Okay.
That's incredible. How big are, you know, when you think about, you said about fuel lines, you know, the average guy out there, he drives his Toyota down the highway, and he's got quarter-inch fuel line. If you've got a Chevrolet V8, you may have a 3/8 fuel line. How big of lines do you have on there? Do you know what size?
Yeah, two and a half inch in diameter.
Holy cow, that's like sewer pipe.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big fuel line, and it runs from the front to the back. We run the fuel tank in the front of the car, so the car and the car arches, you know, going down the track. So every 5 feet, we've got a rubber connection in it, so that the fuel line will flex.
How long? What is the wheelbase? I should say, I guess, on your dragster.
300 inches.
100 inches. Was there any advantage of making them safer by perhaps going to a longer wheelbase or something?
No, like I don't believe so. Actually, it's 300 inches on the long side. We stagger the wheelbase. It's 300 inches on the long side and 298 inches on the short side. The reason we do that is because the car gets a little bit better rollout, which makes it a little quicker going down the track. You actually get a 2-inch run heading run start at a starting head start at the starting line, and I think 300 inches, that's a pretty long car, so I don't really foresee them making it any longer. You know, they drive good. They drive really real good.
Hey Stevie, it is rocket science.
I love it. It drives really good. How much time have you got to drive it? 4.5 seconds, you know? Holy cow. And at that point, you're driving 4.5 seconds, you get to drive this thing, and you weigh 1,100 pounds. I mean, your arms and stuff just can't move around very easily now.
Yeah. I tell you what, your crew chief, they must think we can drive them pretty good, because there's been many of the time right before we start the car, I mean, we're talking, you know, 2 or 3 seconds before we start the car, the crew chief will focus head in the roll cage and say, keep it in the groove. And you go out and look at the groove, and the groove is barely wider than the car. And you know, a lot of times Richard Hartman, which he was one of my crew chiefs, he'll say, move it over 4 inches in the groove. Oh, okay. And
so, in the first 100 feet.
No, he wants it moved over 4 inches, like at 300. He'll pick a spot at 330 feet, move it over 4 inches in the groove. He'll drive out of the groove, so pull it over 4 inches in the groove.
So by this time, your helmet, you're literally pasted to the seat. The G meter's kicked over 5, and he says, "How about move it over 4 more inches? Not 5, but 4."
So evidently the car must drive good then, huh?
Either that or you've got arms of steel. Wow.
Yeah, so no, it but the you know, every track is different, and you can physically see the groove on the racetrack, and these cars move around, but you know, you can guide them. I think the word guide would probably be a better word to use than drive. You hope they go where you want them to. So,
you know, most guys are used to driving a car that has a regular distributor, and you talked about magnetos. In fact, running two magnetos, and they have what, 44 amps per magneto?
Two 44 amp magnetos.
So if you grab that thing, you could kiss it all goodbye.
It would make your hair stand straight up for a good while, you know, if it didn't do that. So it takes a lot of mag to fire that much fuel. The cylinders are actually drowned with fuel in them, and they're trying to fire liquid. That's all you know. It's not vaporized at all. It's liquid. And what's neat about nitromethane, the reason it makes so much power is it carries oxygen in the liquid form. So you're firing a liquid base that's compressed.
Wow. You know, I've once heard that somebody made the statement one time that whenever you drive a top fuel dragster on nitromethane, it's like a bomb. It's going to explode. It just depends if it is at the beginning or is it going to be at the end. And if you get a misfire, what happens then with that liquid?
Well, what happens is it's called, it's called dropping a cylinder when you lose one cylinder, and then what you basically lost is between 800 and 1,000 horsepower in that cylinder, and your rod and piston is still going up and down, but it's going against liquid, and it'll break the rod generally. If just certain points, sometimes you can get away with it, but if it does it early in the run, it's going to hurt a lot of parts, and everybody has. You know, I don't like to see it happen, but you know, they will hurt parts when they drop a cylinder, because sometimes it'll drop one, and then if it drops one, it'll drop another one, and then that's when you start breaking rods and breaking cranks.
Well, you know, we talked a whole lot about acceleration, Bruce, but how about trying to get this thing stopped? What does it take? Because I know some of these tracks really don't have that long of a shutdown. Just what does it take to get one of these babies stopped? Roughly how
sometimes it's just as much fun to stop the car as it is to get there. Because the tracks are short, you got to be on time on the parachute. In other words, you got to shut it off on time, and you got to get the parachutes out, and you got to get these cars stopped. And now we talked about G-force going down the track. It will carry a negative 4 Gs when both parachutes hit.
So your body really goes through a tremendous impact, because you're still on the plus G side as you're going through. Suddenly, when the chutes come out, it reverses and goes the other way on you.
All in under 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's a lot of times. If you ever notice that when one of the fuel drivers gets interviewed on the far end of the track right after they get out of the car, they're out of breath, and they act like they just run down there instead of riding down there. But so what it is the G force going down the track, and then the negative G force getting a stop. Yeah, basically it does knocks the breath out of you a little bit.
Wow, in other words, you almost get the wind knocked out of you whenever the chutes come out. And I noticed most of you guys are in pretty darn good shape, too. So that's got to be a brutal hit. Do you ever get bruises from your your shoulder harness and stuff?
Oh yeah. You get a few bruises on there. There's spots in the car. I've got so many seat belts now on me. I don't know. I can't tell you how many seat belts are gone. I think I got 11 points in the car that I'm strapped in. Three of them are on my helmet. So you're really tied in the car, and getting in and out of the car, you get quite a few bruises. With all the straps on you.
Wow, being held in place 11 different places. Boy, how times have changed. Wow. And the thing, nobody wants to put a seatbelt on in their car. This is almost an art to get in one of these machines, strapped in.
It takes a couple of guys to get you strapped in because there's no room in it either. So when I get in, I got two guys helping me get strapped in, and there's no way in the world I could ever get in this car by myself.
How about if you had to get out on the top end? Can you get yourself released pretty quickly?
Oh yeah, yeah. It all unsnaps pretty quickly. I pulled two straps on my helmet that releases the R3 device on the back, and then I just twist the turnbuckle on the seat belts, and they all come apart. But you still got to get them back away, and then you can get out because these cars are pretty tight. My car's fairly tight. It's actually a little tighter than normal this year because we've added so much padding and so many more seat belts to it. But you can get out of it. It's just, and you can get out in a hurry, but, you know, it takes a lot longer to get it back up and buckle back in it, too.
I think sometimes probably adrenaline helps assist you get out then, I would say, if you have to get out fast.
Yeah. Well, believe me, if you went around, you get out of the car pretty easy. If you lose the round, you're not near as agile when you come out.
I understand that. Well, I'll tell you what, Bruce, fascinating description on just what you do. Your wife is truly a sweetheart to allow you to come out there and do that just for her. Huh?
ain't she though? I love doing this, and I've done it almost all my life, and got to race ever since I've been a kid. So it's pretty cool, and Carol's been there with me, so I love doing it. So it's in your blood, and you know how it is. Once this gets in your blood, it's hard to ever get it out of it.
Well, let me just touch base here real quick on one other thing. I know you're in the trailer sales business, but you're also a collector of cars. Am I correct?
Yeah, I love old cars. My whole family, my father and all my brothers worked at Chevrolet at one time or another, and so I'm into muscle cars, mostly Chevy stuff, and I get a kick out of old cars and old trucks for that matter. I used an old Suburban to pull the race car at the racetrack, to start it up at the start line and go down the return road and get it. But I get a kick out of the old cars, and I got a soft spot in my heart for old muscle cars.
Well, I'll tell you what, from one extreme to the other, from an old, what is that, about a 58 or a 57?
The Suburban I pulled was actually a 56.
Six model? Back in those years. That's a really super clean piece. So
thank you.
That really kind of makes a unique comparison when you sit alongside of a modern day 2007 top fuel dragster. What an extreme from probably 160 horsepower, 165 horsepower.
That's about right. I've had a lot of people come up and talk to me in the pit saying that they love the fuel cars and stuff, but they get a kick out of the old trucks just as much, and that's kind of neat because it's the way we used to live back in the old days, and before power steering and power brakes and air conditioning and all this other stuff. But
kind of like a fuel car, it doesn't have any of those things.
That's true, I only difference with the fuel cars, I got to work on it much more often than the old truck. it has days too.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bruce. I asked you for 15 minutes of your time, and I've already taken 30 minutes of it. And I thought, I know Jack will agree, we have got to have you back again. I have so many more questions I want to ask, but I don't have time.
Well, actually, I love, anytime you guys like to have me come back, just let me know, and I'd love to come on your show. And if anybody would like to look on the internet at and see some of our old stuff, some of the race cars and information about the race car stuff is it's at BruceLitton.com.
A lot of great information and a lot of good photos on BruceLitton.com. I was just spending some time on there while you guys are. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, thank you so much. It's been a joy always watching you, a joy talking with you. And I can't imagine what 2008 is going to bring. Hopefully it will bring you another championship.
Well, I appreciate it. We're going to do our best. And you know, I tell you what, it will be here before you know it. You know, we're getting ready to go through the holidays. And right after the holidays, the testing begins. And then next thing you know, we're in the middle of the season. So time goes by pretty fast anymore.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the 2007 world champion, Bruce Litton.
Bruce, thanks, Bruce.
So much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Take care, guy.
All right, Stevie. There he goes. Another just an awesome. These guys are awesome, man.
He is. He's probably one of the nicest men that I've ever met. And then I've met a huge amount of great people. Bruce is just so soft-spoken. And if you were to meet him on the street, you just wouldn't expect him to drive something as violent and as dangerous as a Top Fuel dragster.
Just another one of the superstars from the drag strip that we have had on this year. Remember a few weeks ago we talked to Andy Kelly, earlier we talked with TJ Zizzo, Rob Atchison, Terry Monroe, and man, it's just they just keep piling up. Those are great interviews with these guys. And
the wonderful world of IHRA drag racing. Just a million of them out there.
I guess after a break here, we're going to come back with Racing Jason Lynch, and then we're going to speak to, later on in the show, we'll talk to some all-Harley drag racers, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, back in a few minutes here.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Real
Men of Genius. All right.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Well, pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and a new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Carnite.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnite.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnite.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnite gets it done.
All right, we are back with Straight Line and with Stevie on our Wednesday night deal where we go drag racing. Stevie, we're back, and we have Racing Jason Lynch with us, I believe.
Absolutely. The man who's a 2007 world champion and top sportsman, and probably, not probably, in my view, one of the most deadliest of all the big buck bracket racers that there is out there in drag racing. Jason, how you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
So, Jason, this is your first ever championship with IJ?
No, I won Quick Rod in 2002.
So Quick Rod in 2002, and then you stepped up into the top sportsman category. Curiosity, what kind of differences have you experienced with top sportsman versus the Quick Rod?
A lot more work and a lot more money.
Well, is it a lot of difference, you know, behind the wheel of a car versus the dragster?
Yeah, it's quite a bit of difference. You feel like you're going a lot faster in a car than you do the dragster.
Really? I would have felt all the open air and everything that you would get that rush or that sensation, but what do you think gives it? Is it the short wheelbase, perhaps, or what?
I think it's the wheelbase, and it's where you're sitting, and it's a lot more noisy, and it's a lot different looking out the windshield versus just looking out in air.
You know, Jason, I already mentioned to the people out there that not only are you the IHRA world champion and top sportsman, but you are also one of the most deadliest of the bracket racers out there. You're notorious for your double-aught reaction times and dead on all the time on your dial-ins. And what do you contribute to your skill and your talents of being able to tear that Christmas tree down the way you do?
Oh, I don't know. It's just, I guess, a lot of luck and just staying focused and being, you know, concentrate on what you're doing. It's you got to love what you're doing, and I obviously love what I'm doing, and I take a lot of pride in it. So sometimes I get lucky, and sometimes I don't.
Well, I watched you. I want to say, was it Farmington last year when you won that $50,000 purse?
Right.
And in addition, this is one weekend, Jack. You won $50,000 one day. And I believe you took a hunk of a $10,000 one out that same weekend.
Right. Yeah. Like that was a good weekend.
$60,000 in one weekend.
That's not bad.
Young man. And absolutely incredible. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, one of the races you had gone out and bought back in. It was a deal where they had to, where you could buy.
Yeah, that was the 50 grander I had to buy back in the.
How did that work? I know it was like the sixth or seventh round or something. They have something special.
Yeah, that was a 10 grander. That was where you could buy a mulligan, they called it.
Uh-huh.
It was everybody that bought one, they pulled a card out, and things was going. I was real lucky that weekend, and I got back in the race. I'd went out the round before, and they pulled my name in the mulligan, so I got to get back in the race.
So then that carried you right on into the in for that big paycheck then again, huh?
Is this a Bullet Motorsports? Is that your machine?
Yes, sir.
I have a picture from you from Bradenton. Is that this year?
Yeah, that was I won the points at Bradenton just a few weeks ago for the 5-day.
Huh. That's cool.
I actually drive for Bullet Motorsports. Mike Zarilla out of Mansfield, Ohio. He owns everything, and I just drive.
Yeah.
So actually, even though the world championship is a great honor in top sportsman, because there's very few guys claim it, but the dollars that really keep you going down the highway comes from bracket racing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the big money bracket racing is pretty much what keeps us going. I mean, you know, you got to get lucky and hit a few of them through the year to keep you rolling. I mean, this year we're fortunate enough to win quite a few IHRA races, but you get them checks a little at a time, and at a bracket race, they pay you right then. So it just kind of helps get you over the hump while you're waiting on them other checks.
Well, you're going down to Carolina Dragway, I believe, coming up this weekend. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What type of, you know, that's another one of those big buck bracket races. What kind of money will you be competing for down there?
It pays $20,000 Saturday and $10,000 Sunday.
So it's quite conceivable you could go home with $30,000 and probably have to compete against, I would say, what, 18 passes down the drag strip total?
Yeah, that'll be 9-round races, yeah. Some of the toughest racers in the country, so it'll be a tough race, and it'll be fun, but Mom would be proud of me right here at Christmas time.
Yeah, that would be a nice Christmas present, wouldn't it,
$30,000? Yeah.
One of the things out there, I know that a lot of the guys that compete on the local tracks and stuff and race for anywhere from $500 to $1,000 to, you know, sometimes $2,000, those are big purses for them, and it's kind of a unique situation to talk to someone that is on a regular basis competes for $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 on a weekend, and you're quite successful at doing it. It's very impressive. How many guys out there do you look at and consider a threat? You know, this guy is quite capable of, I know they're all, in theory, can, but do you have troubles with anybody in particular, I guess is what I'm trying to say?
Well, I know this sounds silly, but the guys that I don't know, I fear the most.
Really?
The guys that I race with week in, week out, you know what you got to do to beat them. You got to be 00 and dead on. And if you're not, you know, they're going to beat you. It's the guys that you don't know that will normally get you because you don't know how to approach the race.
Now, when you say approach the race, you go up there knowing who you're going to have to run. Do you, when we talk about dead on and everything, you normally don't push your car always that hard. Am I correct? You're going in there. If you can go a little soft to give you a pad, you'll go after it to soften it up. Am I right?
Exactly. It just gives you a second chance to win. I mean, if you're a little late on the tree and you're dialed a little soft, the race looks like he was good on the tree. Of course, obviously, you've got to hit the brakes. But the guys that you don't know how they're going to race, you know, you don't know how to race them no more than they know how to race you. So it's like a chess match. You kind of got to know what their move's going to be so you'll know what yours needs to be.
You know, I will tell you this, and Jack, I don't know if you're aware of this, but these guys, they don't race full out to the finish line. These guys will hold some numbers back. And even though Jason may have dialed in eighth mile, let's say an eighth mile drag strip, he's got his vehicle dialed in, let's say at a 470, this fictitious number. The reality of it is his car is probably capable of going 50s. And he'll actually leave and try to race him at the finish line. And can you explain, Jason, just what racing at the finish line is?
Well, you don't, I mean, bracket racing or even top sportsman racing, you don't want to go under your dial in or you lose. And if you go too far over, the guy's probably going to beat you too. But what you do, I mean, if I can go 450 and I'm dialed, say, 455, I've got to get rid of 500s. So you go to the finish line and you beat the guy just as little as possible. And if you have him on the tree, then you obviously win. Now, you'll lose a bunch of times doing that, too. When I think I have the best light and I take the wind light, well, then I'm under and they're not. So kind of it's a big game. But there's two ends of the racetrack, and some people choose to just race one, and there's a lot of us that try to race both of them.
So it's just,
if you have a close race and you win something by thousands or 2,000s or 3,000s. How do you determine that? You're looking over at this guy alongside of you, and we're looking at how much distance is there between your tires. I mean, how do you know that you're ahead of him when you're playing that top end?
Well, it's weird. I drive different. A lot of people, you know, pick a spot out on a car. As silly as it sounds, I drive by my front feet. You know, I just try to picture where my front feet are, you know, in reference to the front wheels. And, you know, you can take a foot or 2 foot and know you got there first, but you know, when you take a thousandth or 2,000th, you're just getting lucky. I mean, I can't see that. You know, there's guys out there that can see 8 or 9 thousandths, and I'm not one of them guys. When I win by that, I just, you know, come back and chalk it up that luck went my way that round. And you know, you win a bunch by that, and you also lose a bunch by doing that. So there's no right way and no wrong way to do it. It's just what you're accustomed to.
How you learn to do it?
By losing a bunch.
There you go. There you go.
Well, Jason, let me ask you this. When did you get started in drag racing?
I started foot braking when I was 15. My granddaddy would, I had my learner's permit. My granddaddy would ride to the races with me when I was 15, and I had a little foot brake car. And when I turned 16, my dad let me start driving a super stocker.
At 16, you were in a super stocker?
16, I had a super stock K stick shift Chevy 2.
No kidding. I bet.
It's been really fun, and it's obviously I love it, and it's rough on the family sometimes, but you know, just like the banquet this year, it was rewarding for all of us because kids got to go to the water park and daddy got to go get a big truck.
Well, I think that's really cool. If nobody deserves it more than you. Like I said, I've enjoyed watching you race in the big buck races, and of course in competition with IHRA, and you are always a threat when you come up to the line, and I only see bigger and better things. This weekend now, you're going down to Carolina Dragway. So, guys, if
the House of Hook.
Pardon?
The House of Hook.
That's right. It is called the House of Hook. You're right. An example, the reason they called the House of Hook, there was a drag race there. In fact, I was announcing that race where we kept a record of perfect reaction times. That means when they leave the line, it's .000 on the tree. When they cross the finish line, whatever their number is, they are dead on with a zero. Absolute perfect drag race. We had 32 of them occur at the House of Hook. And that's just absolutely incredible. So it's one of the ultimate places for a bracket race like this, for competitors like Jason will come in there. Better be on your game if you want to race him, because he'll eat you alive on that Christmas tree. Jason, it was great talking to you tonight. It just might slip down there. That ain't but about 120 miles from me, and after all, I do have a weekend off now.
There you go, see.
Happy listening.
See, Steve, you're already leaving home.
I know. I'm going to be in trouble. I just got back after 45 races, and I'm trying to sneak out again.
Thanks a lot, Jason. We appreciate it,
thank
man.
Thank you. We thank you. Y'all have a good evening.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the 2007 World Champion, Racing Jason Lynch, and top sportsman, and well, like I say, one of the toughest high-dollar bracket racers. Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show. Look forward to seeing you down the road, guy.
All right, thank you.
Bye. All right, Stevie. Tell you what, man, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some all Harley drags.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll push some right buttons here. We'll be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brake Man. The Brake Man has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brake Man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
And we're back. Straight Lining with Stevie Wednesday night. A little bit of an extended edition tonight. And if any of you folks are coming in here looking for the ASA Fast Lane, that show is going to be aired. What we're going to do is play an interview with Butch Miller from earlier in the year at the conclusion of this show with Stevie Letempt. And Stevie,
yeah, guy.
All right, we're at it here, man. We're going Harley racing here.
Absolutely, boys. Time to jump on your hog and let it cackle, boy. I've got Dave Fizell here. This is the young man who is the national champion in the Rush Feel It Performance Pro Gas class. This Pro Gas class, these boys flat get it on. David, how you doing this evening?
Pretty good. Sitting here at my desk, waiting for you to call.
So how does it feel to be a champion?
Feels pretty good. We had a long, hard year this year. We struggled off and on with breakage and some issues with the chassis and issues with the rider, too. I had a point where I missed a race. I whacked the shit out of my arm with an airplane prop and 2 hours of surgery and couldn't
airplane
make the race.
Prop.
Yeah. 2 hours of surgery to put it back together, and the next time I got back on the bike about a month later, my arm didn't work the same. It worked, but just not the same as before, and I was having a hard time.
Is it back to normal now, or are you making
it? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, it worked good the last few races, so. I'm saying it's good.
Well, I tell you, you had a great season. You had 4 wins. You had a runner-up and took the championship. And in the meantime, I don't know how. I didn't know about the airplane incident.
Yeah.
Did you fly or?
Yeah.
Well, I fly radio-controlled, large radio-controlled airplanes, big enough airplanes.
Really?
To cut my arm. I had over 50 stitches in my arm.
How fast you go down the track on your bike?
186.
Yeah, you need to stay away from them radio controlled things, man. They're dangerous.
Yeah, those things are dangerous, guy. I mean, that's good.
Man.
Oh, well, where's home for you?
I live in Hudson, Iowa. I own a motorcycle shop here called Two Wheel Travel. I do some performance work here, paint bikes and build chassis. Have for years. I've been in this location for 30 years.
How many years?
30.
30 years?
Yeah.
I think you were that old.
I'm old. Older than dirt. My association with John Miller and Teal's Wheels Racing in Ohio, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, is what made this year a success. I've known John for a long time. We used to race against each other in the pro stock class, and developed a lasting friendship and respect for one another. And John needed a rider and somebody to test his new chassis this year, and I said I'd do it, and it just turned into I ended up riding it for the whole year. I'd like to thank Rush Exhaust for sponsoring this class and making it all possible. John also works with Snake at CP Piston. He's a good guy. Jessel, Valve Train, and, of course, Mark at Teal's Wheels. All that those people have made this year, you know, what it has been.
It takes a lot of support, doesn't it, to make one of these rides go down the track?
Absolutely. Dave at D&G Chassis in Florida, he's the one that built that chassis that holds all that horsepower that John built. Parker, John's son, and his brother Mike, Jack, Lloyd, and Bill have all helped crew the bike. And it's a lot of work getting you know, a pro gas bike up and down a track. There's a lot of things that goes on. And couldn't do it without, you know, a team to put me on a bike.
You know, just
to, go ahead.
How many years have you been riding as far as racing bikes?
15 years I've been drag racing. Before that, I run a pro hill climber up and down the hills here in Iowa.
No, there's quite a few of our guys that have done some hill climbing. I know Donnie Huffman.
Yeah.
Hill climbing and stuff occasionally, too. And curiosity, what got you started on motorcycles when you were a young man?
My dad wouldn't let me have one. He'd have just let me have a dirt bike when I was a kid. I'd have probably amounted to something.
Well, you've done pretty good. Is your dad still with us?
Yeah. Dad was an educator. He was a superintendent of schools, and he's, of course, retired long since and lives in southern Iowa on the family farm.
Well, I'll tell you what, I guarantee you had a tough go if he was, you know, on the school board and so on. Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. If I got in trouble at school, I always got in trouble at home because Dad knew what was going on. And I did get in trouble occasionally.
So what got you turned on to Harleys?
I've just always liked Harleys, always have. And, of course, you know, a lot of my business is with V-Twins and then performance work. And I don't know if I'm going to be racing something. I've got to be on something that I enjoy. And I do enjoy the power that they make and the sound. One of the best sounding motorcycles I've ever been around is that bike John's on. He's running it on alcohol this year, and God damn, it's a good sounding motorcycle.
You're going to be with us racing the circuit in 2008.
Yep. We're going to make another stab at it. We're going to go defend the title, and I'm going to do it for one more year, I think, and then call it quits. I've been doing this a long time.
All the guys just heard that you're going to be back for sure for 2008. There's a whole bunch of happy riders there.
There's some good guys in that class. Mike Lozano, he borrowed us a camshaft. And we ended up beating him in the finals there in Vegas. But, you know, we couldn't have made the call if it hadn't been for Mike and his camshaft. And Junior Pippen, he's been strong in that class all year long. And he's moving on to the NHRA, which is, you know, makes it easier for guys like me and Mike. But he's a fierce competitor. Rick Moore, Lee Hitz, Dan Shepard, Karen Wagner, all great people in that class. Makes racing fun when it's, you know, the people you know.
Well, I think we do have a big family with the All-Harley Drag Racing Association. I know this is my first year with them. I've only had to get five or six races with them, and it's been a truly unique experience. You aren't home whenever you get there. But I will tell you this, they forget all about that home thing when they roll in there and light that first beam.
Yeah, well, that's all part of racing, and that'll probably never change. And all those guys in that class are fierce competitors. Yeah, it doesn't seem like you win near enough, but it's all about you know, being there first.
Well, you know, you mentioned about Mike Lozano and lending you a camshaft. Just to give the fans out there an understanding, is Mike Lozano was the 2006 champion, and here was a guy that had just passed him in the points chase, had pulled ahead of him, and he's still supporting him. And Mike was right in there; he was number number three, I believe, in the points chase. So
he was number two. He runner up this year.
That right. So he went to number two then. Okay.
Yep.
Junior Pippen, I think, then would have been number three.
Right.
So the actual guy that was number two, Linda Camshaft, the man that went right on by to take the championship. That's friendship there. I'll tell you what. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No,
so we're getting to see you come back in 2008 then. Same team and everything?
Yep.
Anything new on the horizon for us?
We've got some plans for the motor for more horsepower, and we're working on clutch management. John's motor makes as much horsepower as my billet motor S&S bike, but we haven't got the ET out of it like we should, and it's all in the clutch. The motor makes a lot of horsepower and a lot of torque, so it's fairly violent. And that makes it difficult to clutch. But we made some gains on that down in Vegas that were it showed signs. So I think we're on the right track with that. Looking to get that thing down in the 7.0s next year.
Wow, that is flat flying. And how far away do you think you are from approaching that 200-mile-an-hour barrier with this class?
Oh, we'd probably have to put nitrous on it to go that fast.
Nitrous is not legal in your class.
Yep, it is.
Yes,
but we don't use nitrous. We're all motor.
Right, all horsepower then, huh?
Yeah.
All raw.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know that thing runs some strong numbers. Curiosity. When you talk about clutches, I would assume it's a lot like a car clutch, but of course. Do they set it up? Is there a way to set those springs, different tensions or something, where you can make the clutch slip when you let it out? Or how does that work?
It's a little different than a car clutch. A car clutch is tied to the engine RPM with the lockup. The lockup on this motorcycle clutch is tied to the wheel speed. And the static is what gets the wheel moving when you throw the lever. And then as down track, then the levers come in. And juggling the levers and the weights on the levers and the spring pressure, the initial, is what makes it slip a little bit in ET.
So you have weights on the levers. That's a lot like I can relate to funny cars and fuel cars do a
yep.
setup to make their clutches hook, where they do have, you do set the weights and stuff to lock up. That's interesting. I wasn't aware of that on the bikes, because I still have a lot to learn. So, 2008, we're going to run the whole schedule. We'd look to see you down in Florida. Anything special? Like I said, I know you got some more power, a little more clutch work on it. Any goals other than I know you want to repeat again?
Yeah.
Any chance that you might have a second bike and compete in another class as well for maybe more seat time or something like that?
We've kicked it around running a pro stock motorcycle. I've got enough stuff here to build a pro stock motor and a motorcycle. But a lot of it depends on the time that I have and how the money holds out, that whole thing.
It all comes down to the almighty dollars, to whether or not you can survive or not.
Yeah, it's
a pretty group of sponsors behind you right now, it seems that they've served you pretty well, and you definitely give them a payback in a world championship.
Sure.
Well, Guy, I tell you what, it is that time. That didn't last very long. Boy, it flew by. But we're already overrunning our time. It's unfortunately, like I say, well, you know, Stevie talks too much anyway.
We'll see you in Gainesville, man.
Okay, I'll be there.
Definitely going to see you at Gainesville. And
Get a sunburn.
Talk about you all weekend long.
All right.
All right, you have a great time, my friend.
Yep.
We will see you in Gainesville.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Nice talking with you. See ya.
Dave Fizell, your champion in Rush Pro Gas.
Wow.
One super nice guy.
Yeah.
Also fast.
Very fast. What do we got? We're going to talk with Verl Smith. Now, he's got a program to help veterans. Is that what the deal is there?
And this is a guy with a heart of gold. I mean, he's got the biggest heart on the planet. And right now, he's, to my understanding, it just all comes right out of his pocket, everything he does and stuff. He does it to help the vets. He's really a great guy, and we'll be talking with him in just a second.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Straight Lining with Stevie on Wednesday night.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Hey, welcome back to Straight Lining with Stevie. That's what we do here on Real Racing USA on Wednesday night. If you did tune in here to catch the ASA Fast Lane show, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane show will not be heard tonight, the regular show, and we're going to have an interview with Butch Miller that we did earlier in the year, which is 45 minutes of pretty good stuff. But right now, it's back to Straight Lining with Stevie and Stevie LeTemp. And Stevie, what we got going, man?
Well, I got a gentleman here that competes in McKay's a Street Pro. This is Verl Smith, but hey, everybody just calls him Smitty. Smitty, how you doing this evening?
Good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. So, the season seemed to be pretty strong for you. You had a pretty good season. You tasted victory, not once but twice, and the one kind of a special win for you there. You won up in Sturgis. How about? Give us a little background on Sturgis and what it means to you.
Well, Sturgis for me, Steve, that's where I did my first AHDRA race in 1994. And so to me, it's kind of a homecoming. But so to go to Sturgis, I remember in 1997, they had like 30 top fuel bikes there, you know. And to go to Sturgis, is kind of, to me, is kind of like when NHRA guys go to Indianapolis. But the real thing that's really cool about Sturgis for me is I got willed a little bike show that we do at the VA facility at Fort Meade there in Sturgis, and so we go, you know, pull some bikes out and get some of the racers to come by and do some stuff for the vets, and that's the real cool thing about it in racing is just the icing on the cake, and I like a lot of icing.
Well, this program that you started up now, Racing for the Vets, I think that is really a super neat deal. What brought you up to decide to do this?
Well, I'm a veteran, and, you know, sometimes a lot of our veterans kind of get, maybe forgotten about. And Bernie Lee, that used to crew for Mark Cox, and Mary Lou Bruton, who used to do a lot of stuff for Ray Price, started this show, and we go there, we get a few of the racers to come by, and Rick Green from the HDRA, he's really helped out a lot. My brother, Frank Pimple, and Susie. And we go there, and we some of the sponsors give us some T-shirts to give to the veterans, and we just sit around and talk with them, show them the bikes, take pictures on the bikes, you know, because the one thing that I think is really important, if it wasn't for our veterans, we may not be able to do what we do today, and that's drag racing motorcycles, you know. So
yeah, he's got a good point there, and a lot of those guys have sacrificed and given up a lot for us.
It's true. It's really really important, you know. Don't forget to thank a veteran and wear red on Fridays in support of our troops till they come home.
You know, you said you had some more plans for the vets. I know, like, hopefully things work out to where I can get in early on in 2008 that I'll have the opportunity to go to a lot of these VA hospitals and sit down there and talk with the guys. And perhaps Real Racing USA will even do some stories and stuff on some as well. I would love to do that. But you've got more plans than just doing that. Tell us a little bit about the plans that you do have available, what you're working on.
You mean as far as the Racing for Vets thing?
Right.
Well, it's what we're going to try to do next year is, you know, do some of the shows before every HDRA race. We'd like to... the Burl Smith Racing for Vets stands for Veterans Education Towards Survival. And so what we would like to do is school vets and let them know that there's opportunities out there for them, you know, through the VA regional facilities. Or there's a lot of things that's due to them that they don't know about. So the idea is to educate them and, you know, help them, you know, get back on a good good productive member of society, so to speak. And you know, and that's kind of, that's more of a, probably more of a dream right now. I'd really like to, you know, have maybe kind of like a halfway house eventually for like recovering alcoholic addict veterans and, you know, people coming home, you know, after seeing action and stuff. Sometimes they don't get deprogrammed and have some sort of thing like that. But, you know, that's more of a dream.
Well, I think it's a wonderful dream. I really do. And I know, you know, you can always count on me for anything I can ever do to help. If it's at all possible, I support you 100%.
Absolutely.
And I can assure you all the guys at Real Racing USA feel the same way.
No doubt about
so
it.
Perhaps we can even get together with you and, you know, and I can do some shows and stuff to perhaps make them special. You know?
Oh, well, we appreciate that, and I know the veterans will. You know, some of these guys, you know, you think you're having a bad day, and a guy might roll out in a wheelchair that's missing his legs, and he's got a smile on his face, and you ask him how he's doing, and he smiles, and he says, it's a beautiful day. And it's a very humbling experience. You know, I think I have a bad day because my back hurts when you meet somebody like that. It's just about brings a tear to my eye.
What are the biggest needs, Verl?
Pardon me?
What are the biggest needs for that you've seen from you know, talking to the guys and stuff? What is it that people can do to help?
Well, you know, one thing I've found is just going to these VA hospitals and homes and stuff, just be there to talk to them. We had people like Lee Hitz and James Serber that came out this year, and Sonny Burris, and Ron and Penny. I don't remember their last name. And when they go there, just to go there and talk to them, I think that's you just see their eyes light up. Just to have somebody to talk to,
right?
And appreciate that somebody's taking the time out of their day to go spend some time with them. And I think that's probably, in my opinion, what I've seen, that's probably the coolest and the bestest thing, so to speak, is
sure.
To have somebody to talk to for a while and spend some time with them.
Sure.
You know, just thank them for serving our country and, you know, giving us our way of life. You know, we're one of the most fortunate countries in the world. And, you know, a lot of people take our country for granted, but a veteran doesn't. You know, and to let them know that, it just, you can just, I don't know, I don't think I can put any better words than that.
No, I think so. You got it. Is there a? Do you have a like a web page or any place where, or anything that you suggest that people go to get find out more about this?
Well, you can go to VerlSmithRacingForVets.com, and another organization that we're involved with is MothersOfMilitarySupport.org. They really do a lot of stuff for. They're mainly out of the state of Washington, but they do a lot of stuff for veterans, and they're very informative. You know, you can go, there's some other places, too, a guy can go. You know, we have some friendly links at our website at VerlSmithRacingForVets.com that, you know, people can go in and you can just kind of cruise the Internet and get a lot of information. There's a lot of good information out there.
Yeah, I'm on your site now. That's cool. That's cool. We'll put a big link and a little banner there on Real Racing USA, sending people to your website.
Right on, and that's thanks to my brother Frank Wimple. He's the one that's been doing and maintaining the website, along with we have Tracy and my sister-in-law Susie that take some of the pictures. And like I said, I got to extend my gratitude to Rick Green. He's did. Well, we weren't able to be out east last year for the shows. He was still out there doing them along with Susie. And then on the west, we've been doing them, and he's been at every one. He's scrounged up T-shirts to give to the veterans, hats, Biker's Choice. One of my sponsors has donated stuff to give to the veterans. The list just goes on. Solari Brothers, Ken and Jeff have donated shirts and coats. We had a pretty touching experience with a veteran in Vancouver, Washington. He didn't even have a jacket, and somewhere or another, Kenny Solari threw in a couple of jackets, and these jackets ended up to a couple of homeless veterans that they really needed them. So, you know, and it's just amazing how all that stuff comes together, you know.
Well, hopefully we can have some input and we can do some help on that as well, as you know. 2008, if I'm out there with you, I'm
cool.
More than happy to go to any of these things and anything I'm able to do or help.
Well, you know, and then if you don't mind me saying, I got to throw in a little bit of thank you to, you know, all of my sponsors for the race team and my crew chief, Alan McBee, and, you know, the crew, Doug and Sue and Stevie and Stanley and, like I said, Rick Green, Mary Lou Bruton, they all help out immensely. And then all my sponsors that helped me get, you know, to get to the races where we're able to go do the VA shows, like the Avi Casino, Alliance Mechanical, Biker's Choice, as I mentioned, Solari Brothers. We got one guy named Davey Rocket that helps me maintain the motorhome, Robbie McKay from McKay's RPM Enterprises. You know, he's, besides sponsoring the Street Pro class, he's helped me out for the last couple of years, besides being my friend. Oak Grove Choppers, Old School Choppers, Outlaw Racing Fuels, XO Products, Spike, Black Widow Camps, Dave's Machine, Bitch and Seat Company, you know, they're all, you know, we couldn't, and every one of these people does something, and it's all those little things that come together that make us be able to go to the races and do these VA shows. So I want to thank all them, too.
Yeah, I think what you do, guys, are absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Curiosity, how do we look for 2008? How many races are you going to be able to make?
Well, right now our tentative schedule is looking at all the Western Swing races, plus Sturgis, of course. And with everything considered, we like to try to make it back for Richmond and Rockingham. Two beautiful tracks back there, and that kind of depends on the sponsorship. We're in the process right now of we're talking with the sponsors. Definitely the Western Swing, and if we can get back east, everyone we can, we will. And we also have some commitments with Mothers of Military Support, doing some of their shows for veterans and stuff. So those are going kind of going in there, and you know. Do more VA shows, definitely.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Earl Smith, better known as Smitty, a man with a heart of gold, fellow Harley drag racer, racing for the vets. If there's anything you can do, if there's any way you can help this gentleman, what's that site again that they could reach you at?
VerlSmithRacingForVets.com. And my phone number's on there if anybody wants to call and just say howdy. And, it isn't for me. It's for us. It's for the veterans, you know. And it's just taking a little bit of time out of your day. And like I say, thanking a vet. And it just goes so far with them. It's just unbelievable. And it makes them feel, you know, like the Vietnam vets and stuff, you know, they kind of got put on the back burner for a lot of years. And, you know, and sometimes they in the shuffle of life or whatever you want to call it, you know, they kind of get forgotten. But, you know, we can't forget them. We got to just remember and thank God that that we have those kind of people here that give us our way of life.